Secret illegal
cross-country road race.
First prize is
$32 million.
12 strangers.
You wanted fun? Well, I think things just got fun.
In the thrill ride of a lifetime.
Daddy!
Where everyone has a reason to win.
You're never going to find your wife, not if they ever.
And who are they?
People you don't want to meet.
Drive, the two-hour series premiere, coming Sunday, April 15th to Fox.
Hello and welcome to Remote Control here on the Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geek. This is another Season Pass episode. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is my drive enemy, JT from Saskatoon. Hello, sir.
Aw, and I thought we'd be partners.
Oh, hell no. You're about as useful as Wendy Petrakis.
And you're about as healthy as Dylan Baker.
Hey, you leave Dr. Kurt Connors out of this, damn it.
Well, he's not Dr. Kurt Connors yet, sir.
No, he already was.
He's got both his arms. He's clearly not Dr. Kurt Connors. But besides...
No, he was in 2004 and 2007. It was before he didn't...
What I love about Mike, folks, is how anyone else's sarcasm just washes right off of him like a nonstick frying pan.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever... Bounces off to me, sticks to you.
It's so funny.
I know, right?
That's right, folks. We're talking about a lost gem today.
A very lost gem. A lost gem akin to 2003's Fastlane. But it has been, as of April 15th, 2017, it has been 10 years since the Nathan Fillion's leading role in Fox's very short-lived series, Drive. For those of you who are wondering, what the hell is Drive and where the hell can I watch it? Well, let me get the where the hell can I watch it out of the way right now. When Drive had its run, like a year after its run, it went on to iTunes, or maybe it was 3 or 4 months after that it went on to iTunes, I don't remember. As soon as it hit iTunes, I snatched it up because I was waiting for 6 months for them to show the final two episodes. The final two episodes of the series never aired. Only aired four episodes. Never aired the final two. So I immediately bought the season on iTunes. And it was on there. It was on Amazon Instant Video. It ain't now. So... Unless you know somebody that's willing to allow you to authorize their account onto your iTunes, no one can watch Drive but me. because, and I'm sure there are other more nefarious ways to get it, but I find this highly irregular that in 10 years since this series, Fox has never put it on DVD. Nothing. No media release, no nothing. And it's a good series. It didn't really get a chance to take off, I guess you could say. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really interesting. I forgot about half the crap that happened in it until I watched it. And then I just, as of this recording, because this will be going up on Wednesday on GCR and Twig, I just finished watching the final episode and I'm like, oh, hell no, that's how they did that. And I'll talk more about that at the end of the podcast because I've got a whole other network's show clip to tie into that. Let's just say, folks, I'm going to be pulling a Sheldon Cooper at the end of this podcast.
There's no good way for me to respond to that.
1-800 sci-fi is all I can say.
Yeah. I love this show. Like, it all kind of came back to me when Mike contacted, or, well, I kind of did the internet equivalent of sticking my hand in there like Horseshack and Welcome Back, Cotter. Like, oh, Mr. Cotter. Like, I was like, Mike, I love this show. Talk to me. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. No, this show was great. It had... It's really hard to put into words, but I'm going to try. It had this mid to late 90s-ness of it, of like the concept and the like the actors and the story. And this is like comfort food in TV form for me. Like it had just enough story. It had a good hook. You know, not all the characters played for me, but we'll get into that. It had the magic that is, you know, Captain Tight Pants himself, Nathan Fillion, who this man can literally do no wrong. You know, it had a lot of actors that I'm a big fan of nowadays, you know, especially like Emma Stone. This is like the first thing that I ever saw Emma Stone in. Yeah. And it's one of those ones that this comes from the... And I'll get into this in some trivia I found at the end of the show, folks. This came from a year that was like record number cancellations for Fox.
Oh, yeah.
And the other cool thing is this is one of the first shows. The show was canceled and then it won an Emmy that year that it was canceled. But again, I'll get into that when we get into the trivia at the end. But yeah, no, it's Cannonball Run by way of the Fast and the Furious. And it was just so much fun. And this...
But it's really... Okay, yeah, you say that, but it's really not just Fast and the Furious. You're right. It is so Cannonball Run. But, I mean, really, the only two participants, or three participants, that actually have decent, like, muscle or speed cars are Alex... Well, Alex doesn't at first. He does later. Alex Tully, the Army dude Rob, and his wife... What a wench she turned out to be. And who was the other one? Salazar.
Kevin Alejandro, who played Winston Salazar.
Right, exactly. All the other people, you know, Wendy had a damn minivan, and all the other people just had standard cars.
Well, yeah. Well, but I mean, just to give the folks an idea, it's the Cannonball Run, which is about a cross-country road race, but it's in this era of, you know... The Fast and the Furious, you know, the maybe logic and physics be damned. But yeah, so like the basic concept of the show is there is this great illegal secret invite only cross-country road race where people from all walks of life, all levels of the economic spectrum are invited by this mysterious mystery cabal of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just invited for one reason or another. Like, the main prize is there's $32 million waiting for them at the finish line, whoever wins the race. And I assume the conspiracy's got a reason, and they'll get it, like, tax-free, or, you know, they got a Cayman Island account or something. And, you know, our three... I would say the... Well, four main like protagonists in the show, the ones that we spent like the most time with is Nathan Fillion, who plays Alex Tully.
Mm-hmm.
He's a landscaper, and we find out later in my favorite episode, which is the third episode, that he has a history.
He's a former wheelman.
Yeah. Initially, Ned, and he teams up with Karina Wiles, played by Kristen LeMond. He's driving his work truck, which is a, I'm looking on the wiki here, it's a 1972 Ford F-100. And eventually, once we find out that he used to be this wheelman, and there's this whole reason why the cabal wants him in this race. They found and fully restored his getaway car, which is a 1972 Dodge Challenger, black with like a blue pinstripe on the side, mm-hmm. which is badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Kevin Alejandro. We know him from the James Woods show Shark, mostly, playing Winston Salazar. He's a former gangbanger who's just released from prison. He's driving a 1964 Chevy Impala lowrider. Like, yeah. Oh, that's a gang vehicle? I had no idea. With the gold paint and the independent suspension, he's teamed up with J.D. Pardo, who plays his brother Sean, his illegitimate half-brother from a rich father. And they're in that car. And they're kind of like the four main characters. I mean, everyone's part of the story, including the soldier you mentioned, who was Riley Smith playing Rob Lard, and Mircea Monroe, who played Ellie Lard, his wife. And they're probably Alex's car and Rob's car were my favorites in the show, because Rob had this sweet 1979 Pontiac Trans Am. I think it was a T-top. I might be wrong on that.
This show has a Spider-Man and Superman connection.
Yes, it does.
So Dylan Baker, who plays John Trimble, who is Emma Stone's character Violet's dad, he, as I said, was Dr. Kirk Connors before he got turned into the Lizard in the Spider-Man 2 and 3 films.
In the Raimiverse.
Yes, in the original films. And then Emma Stone eventually was Gwen Stacy in the Unamazing Spider-Man 2. And then the Superman connection is Mrs. Kent. We barely see her. I'm like, wait, why was she in this? Mrs. Kent, Kay Callan from the New Adventures of Lois and Clark, or The Adventures of Lois and Clark, or what? Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. I'm like, hey, that's Mrs. Kent. Where's Mr. What's she doing there? So, yeah.
Yeah, they were the mysterious
old couple on the, yeah.
Well, you didn't realize it was them, because you see them in, like, the first episode starts off with Alex dealing mm-hmm. with the cops, like someone's broken his home, his wife is gone. I wish I would remember the actor. It's the black DA from like the first few seasons of Law and Order. He was the villain in Crow.
That's where I remember him. It's Richard Brooks was Detective Early in this.
Oh, I feel so bad that I couldn't remember, because I loved Law and Order growing, like those years, like him and mm-hmm. Chris Noth were my favorite guys. He's doing his thing, he's interviewing Alex, but you clearly get the sense that he's like, okay, the woman took off, or you did something, but mm-hmm. that's a cop instinct. And then it starts off there, and then Alex opens later, like the next day, he opens this little present thing that I guess is from his wife, we assume, and it's like this, I could not find what model phone, it's the race phone that all the racers get.
Mm-hmm.
I could not find out what model it is, but it's basically answers it, and then you see these not really smash cut, but a montage of everyone listening to the phone. Like we see Winston get it as he's gotten out of prison. He's trying to talk, get a conversation with his dad going. His dad's kind of ignoring him because he's yeah. the mistake. And you hear this montage is like you're invited to be part of this race. You got to be I forget what city it was in Florida to, you know, sign up and qualify, and it's, you know, we're off to the races. And
the main race organizer that we always see, at least for the first four or five episodes, Mr. Bright. And Mr. Bright is Charles Martin Smith. I love this guy.
this is a guy, like, and he was, what was he? He was the accountant that they get brought on in The Untouchables. Just looking it up here quick. Charles Martin. He was Oscar in The Untouchables. I'm sorry, he's just one of those actors that he's like Ron Funches on Powerless and At Midnight. He's just the guy I want to hug. He just seems like such a warm, cuddly individual. And he's not necessarily a bad man in Drive, because he just has, he just plays this very, like, almost 1950s-esque, well, good morning, good evening, and good night, you know?
Yeah.
You know, sort of guy. And yeah, he's just, he's the organizer, Mr. Bright, and he's just, he looks at Alex and he's just like, look, you know, you missed the presentation. I'm already packed up. I'm sorry. And just, but he gives him the quick lowdown. And as Alex is running into and out of the hotel, you know, we see several of the racers. We see the Mr. and Miss, well, Mrs. Kent and her new husband. We see Taryn Manning, who she plays Ivy Chitty. And I just got a huge crush on Taryn Manning. I'm sorry. I love that woman. And she's teamed up with this mother and daughter, and they're kind of going together. You just see everyone running in and out and getting on the way. And like the whole, basically from what I read, the first two episodes were debuted in the same night as kind of a two-part movie pilot sort of thing. This first episode, just the first hour, gives you a very clear idea of how confusing the story is going to get in this show.
Uh-huh. And the pièce de résistance to this series is Fred is the wife.
Yes, Amy Acker plays Catherine Tully in a couple episodes.
Oh my God! And then later down the line, not in this series, but another series that I love, she plays Root. And I'm sorry. Anytime Amy Acker shows up outside of a Joss Whedon show now, it's like, hey, it's Fred.
Yeah, and she just has. She's got those. She's got it. She's got those big googly anime eyes that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, I think, less than 2 minutes worth of dialogue in all six episodes, but she just has that voice that you just kind of like, aww. Like, she is just a genuinely nice person. You know, another guy, it took me a minute to remember him. Plays a villain in a couple episodes of the series is Brian Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Who I was like, holy, like, just going back and watching these episodes, I was like, holy, it's Brock Pike from A-Team. Captain America, because he voices Captain America in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and he's a whole bunch of characters in Ninja Turtles, and I'm just like, holy shit, it's that guy. And he's another guy I love. This guy should have a bigger career, because he's got like one of the most intense looks, just because by benefit of his eyes, he's just got like one of the most intense stares ever. And just whole first episode, just it's a crazy hodgepodge of what made Cannonball Run so much fun, but with a very much serious tone.
Mm-hmm.
And just holy shit.
Yep.
Because was it the looking at the kid, Melanie Lynskey? I'm just looking her up on the wiki here. I feel like I should know her from, holy shit, that's Rose from Two and a Half Men. How could I not remember that? Oh wow, I cannot believe I forgot about that. And I love that show. I was just like watching this, and not back then. I mean, just watching it today is just kind of like, I know her from somewhere.
Yeah. And like I said before, Fox canceled this just before the 4th of July in 2007. They were going to air the remaining two episodes. Actually, they were going to air them on July 4th and then reschedule them for July 13th and then later pulled them entirely. Obviously, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, they ended up on the iTunes, so we actually do get to see. But the thing of it is the story was never fully developed, according to Tim Minear, one of the executive producers of the show. they were still working on the story. You know, somebody, I read an interview, there's one of the citations on the Wikipedia about the cancellation where he said something in an interview of, and this interview was 10 years ago at this point, said, you know, they asked him, oh, well, who would have won the race? And he's like, somebody, we hadn't even finished, you know, plotting out the story, so stay tuned, you know.
Yeah.
And this show, as much as I love these six episodes, this is my biggest show that I hate Fox for. The way that they treated this show. Maybe it didn't make them enough money. I don't know. Maybe it didn't get good enough ratings. It won a friggin' Emmy, like you said. But it's one of those things where, give it an ending. Don't just...
And that's not... I mean, it is Fox's fault. But it's not... Like, that's just kind of the nature of the beast in television. Like, you know, it's you have to justify the cost of the episodes and salaries of the actors, and is it getting enough buzz? And that's one of the things, you know. Like I said, I got something for the trivia at the end. It's just Fox is notorious, especially in like the late 90s.
I need to correct myself. It was only nominated. It did not win an Emmy. It was nominated for an Emmy. No, it didn't win. It was the interesting thing about it is it was the first
Emmy
series.
Nom,
yeah, it was the first series to be nominated for an Emmy award under the organization's new broadband eligibility guidelines. It didn't win.
Yeah, for this video clip.
Yeah, but still, I mean, even though it still got nominated for an Emmy. I mean, there's got to be something to be said about that. And I know people are going to look at us and listen to us talk about this show and be like, you guys are crazy. That show sucked. And I'm telling you, folks, if you can find a way to watch it, just go watch it. It is very compelling. It does have good character development in it. There are certain things with certain characters, as we said before, that neither one of us really care too much about. I honestly think Wendy is the most painfully written character. This was my note in episode two. She's the most painfully written character. She's way too awkward. And I understand that she's trying to protect her son and all of that, but her son's not even with her. It's a fake friggin' baby in the car. She took her son to a home or a foster home place thing. So
yeah,
she doesn't even have a real kid in the car, and she's just way too fidgety and just...
Well, I mean, you look at some of the characters and their motivation. I mean, we got Nathan Fillion's Alex is, you know, trying to find his wife.
Yeah.
Karina Wiles, Kristen Lamond, her parents were actually part of the race like 15 years ago. She's looking for revenge on the organizers. Winston and Sean are basically angry at their dad, but it's kind of justified. He's like when it's that whole trope of the rich, domineering father plotting out his, well, the good son in Sean who...
And the bad son in Winston.
Yeah. Well, the bad seed, but that's because this guy couldn't keep his dick in his pants, apparently. Dylan Baker, and in one of the articles I found on the same website that had the whole Emmy thing... it was TVSeriesFinale.com. I found an article talking about, some of the sponsors that sponsor the people in the race are sometimes racers. Like Dylan Baker's character was going to be revealed that he was his own sponsor, but as part of him sponsoring himself and, him and his daughter, yeah. He was told you have to take these pills and basically give himself cancer. You know,
I thought it was going to be the other way around. Don't give yourself cancer. You already have the cancer and we'll give you a cure.
Yeah, it's the meds were, he wasn't really sick, or it was the meds were making him sick, and the organizers, you know, the cabal got to the doctor or put their own doctor in and is like, yes, you have cancer. You need to take these pills. You know, you had stuff like that. We had Rob and Ellie. Rob's AWOL from the Army. And it's revealed in, I think, the fourth or fifth or in the last couple episodes that Ellie's actually working with Brian Bloom's Alan, who works for the Cabal, and she's in it. It's just, there's this whole thing.
By the time episode three rolled around, I wrote, Rob's girl is sketchy as fuck. I knew
hot
something was up with her.
Hot as hell.
Yeah, she is hot as hell, but you got to be careful of the hot ones. Sometimes they can be sketchy as fuck.
This is true. And there is absolutely... I'm sorry, I like the crazy ones. What can I say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean...
Well, you live in Canada. What do you expect?
I don't live... Yeah, but I don't live in America, so really, who's worse off? It's 6 of 1, half dozen of the other.
I knew by the time we see the beginning, I think it's the beginning of episode 4 when we see Alex owning his past and using it to his advantage, and then we see Corinna's past and how she was a prize for the race for her parents, and obviously her parents didn't make it. I like that. So she's not actually a race participant. She's just somebody that needed to find somebody to get into the race with.
Yeah. Well,
good.
Well, it's just, if I remember, I think it was in the 5th episode, is reveal Ellie's working with Alan, and he had stole this flash drive, which has got, mm-hmm. it's basically the MacGuffin of the series, that it's got all this information, not only on the racers, but like the race and the cabal.
Well, it's got the information of who the sponsors are and where we get.
And it's all encrypted.
Yeah, and Sean, Winston's brother, decrypts it and finds out that Winston's sponsor was actually their father. By the time episode 4 comes around, we get to the point of Susan dies. So she is one of the characters that has died. It's the older Oprah-looking black lady. And then we get back from... At the end of episode 4, episode 3 and episode 4 both leave off on cliffhangers.
Indeed.
And episode 4's cliffhanger just... I remember when this aired 10 years ago, I was dutifully waiting week after week after week after week for them to air 5 and 6 because it was not over. We gotta know. And it's just like The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper finding out that Alpha's got canceled after season 2. So we're going to cut to Sheldon's rant about Alphas and the Sci-Fi Channel now, and we'll be back after this. All right, folks. So, yeah, 4 episodes aired on television. The other 2 were on iTunes and Amazon Instant Video. Episode 5 I like because you get into Alex's past. I think
3 and 5 were probably my favorite episodes. Just 3 was my favorite episode because they have the whole thing where he's arrested by a Florida State trooper part of the cabal, and... You think, like, maybe this guy's just this cop who's kind of going rogue, and you know there's something that's... Now there's definitely something off with Alex, and it's not, like, a hugely bad thing, but it's revealed. Like I said earlier in the show, he used to be a wheelman for, like, a robbery crew. Mm-hmm. And they give him, like, they restore his car, and he's like, well, no, this isn't my car. And this is, like... Now, confession time. When Firefly first aired, I had only seen a couple of episodes, and I didn't get as invested in it until afterwards. This was the first Nathan Fillion series that, one, I was legit bummed out when they canceled it, and it never came back, because like Mike said, you know, I never up until recently, I didn't see what happened after the end of episode 4. But this is like the beginning of my man crush on Nathan Fillion as a badass, because they have this scene like, this isn't my car, and he's like, yeah, it is, it's fully restored. And he's like, no, see, if this is my car, and he hits this switch and he pulls out this blade, he's got it to the fake cop's throat, and it's like, Nathan Fillion's a badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they have this great scene where, okay, it does not hold up special effects wise, because he gets the car, he picks up Karina, they go, and there's this, they basically play my favorite track from the Matrix soundtrack, which is Leave You Far Behind by Lunatic Calm.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is driving like a bat out of hell on crank, and he's passing everybody. But when you go to like the the shot of the car. You see the tires move a little bit, but it's like weaving in and out. And it's like the most blatantly cut and paste special effect I've ever seen. But where it ends is like, leave you far behind. And it ends the song, and Nathan Fillion gets this little badass smirk smile that just, oh, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And the fit. And yeah, but like you said, the fourth episode involves them, Alex and Karina, getting a jump start, which is a chance to move ahead of everyone else. And they kind of team up with the Salazar brothers to rob this bank. And by the end of that episode, Sean is shot. And in the fifth one, this is where we kind of deep dive into Alex's past. Mm-hmm. He goes to like this fight trainer who's like a back alley doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And we get like some of the best acting, I think, in the short-lived series from Nathan Fillion, because they have the great scene with the doctor who's like, he's kind of patched up Sean, but I gotta staple his bullet wound. Mm-hmm. And he's gonna need like four staples. You answer a question truthfully, I staple him. And it's just this tension-filled scene of him going back and forth. Is like, you're really out of it. Yes, I really am.
Yep.
Why? I found a woman. Okay, Kerchunk.
Yeah.
And some of the characters in the show, like outside of Alex and Karina, the Salazars, you, because there's so few episodes, you, and we focus so much on them, we don't care too much about the other ones, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, so part of Wendy Petrakis' story, the mother trying to save her son and get away from an abusive husband, her story, part of it is that someone keeps going to this foster home, orphanage, whatever it's supposed to be called, where her son is, asking about information about her. We don't find out until the very last episode that was actually her brother, who she hadn't talked to in 3 years, going there. She thought it was her ex, her husband, who apparently is, you know, abusive and this, that, and everything else, which is very, very bad. I just don't buy Melanie Lynskey's acting as Wendy. Like, I don't know. It's one character I could do without in the series, because she really has no major... the reason why Alex and Karina are the two main people in this thing, or even the Salazar brothers, the four mains here, are because Karina was somebody who was in the race 27 years ago. Alex is now, his wife is, you know, been kidnapped by these people. Did you notice the Three Stooges connection?
No.
Actually, Three Stooges and Daredevil.
Okay, explain.
Remember the truck driver that said to Alex, you know, if you want, you can look in the back. I'm sure there's something back there I have that you might want. Remember that guy?
Yeah, that's, was it Paul Ben-Victor, I think?
That's Paul Ben-Victor, who was Mo in the made-for-TV movie The Three Stooges in 2000 by Mel Gibson. And he was also, what's his name, from Daredevil in the very beginning.
Quesada,
yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that Three Stooges movie. I remember him from, you know, the Daredevil and that... well, I thought it was kind of brilliant, the Invisible Man TV series on Sci-Fi Channel back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah, I didn't know he was Mo.
I recognized him in a heartbeat. I'm like, hey, I know that guy.
That's really cool. And the other one of the other race organizers we had. That was different. Damn it, I'm trying to find... It's the lady that played Professor Maggie in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of like... She's like the highest up we get in the whole race organizer hierarchy.
Yeah.
You know? I'm looking that up right now because I have to know what that woman's name is. So
Yeah. So I like Drive. I actually watched it when I was out in California again, because then this was like the end of last year, because I needed something interesting and fun to watch. And it's just a fun little series. It's a very short-lived series, obviously. It only had,
Lindsay
like we
Krause
said...
Krause was the actress's name.
We only had six episodes. But it's just one of those things where it's just so fun. It really, really is. It's fun, it's mysterious, and you were talking earlier about the music of the series. This was 2007, folks. They were still kind of popular, I think. I don't remember if they had an album out in 2007, but lead singer of Bush, Gavin Rossdale, did the theme song for this series, Can't Stop the World.
Yeah, if there's one thing I did not like about the series, like,
oh, come on!
No, let me finish before you start getting all irate and shit, Kentucky, okay? I didn't
fucking
like
Canada.
The song only because it did not feel it fit well with the series.
It fit well with the opening, because the opening is very short. It's just character shots of each of the participants and actors in the cars.
I get that. It's just, I didn't necessarily need, I felt as something with a little more pop would have worked. But I didn't like it. I didn't like it. It's not like I hated it and I thought it was shit. Because, you know, we know from doing stuff with you back in the day, we did the music episodes on GCRN. I love Bush and Gavin Rossdale. It's just, I didn't like that as the intro music. But you're right. The music, the soundtrack for the series, I mean, you had The Doors, you had Lunatic Calm, you had Crystal Method. Those are the ones I recognize. There's other groups on the list here on the wiki. I mean, there's Block Party, 9 Pound Hammer, Donder Boy, The Roans. Like, I've never heard, I'm not saying they're good or bad. I've never heard of some of these acts.
You say Block Party, all I can think of is Pete. Welcome to the Block Party. All I can think of is Pete from APB.
But yeah, no, I mean, the music was really cool. Like, and if there's one thing I can complain about in the individual episodes, it's the use of the music to like set the mood and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the instrumentals, whoever was scoring this series was very well done.
Yeah. You look at the episodes, like we said, we had the first two episodes were basically an extended pilot. You know, we had episode 3 where we get into the next leg of the race. You had episode 4 where Alex and Karina and the Salazars break into this safe. Honestly, it's around episode 4. Like, I hadn't really glommed onto him yet, but like Kevin Alejandro as Winston, there is a earnestness and a very positive energy that he brings to his work, and it is so prevalent in this series. Like, you can't help but want to hang out with Winston. Like, he's just kind of got that by like, this guy could be a lot of fun. And you also get more into the backstory of why Sean ultimately decided to go with Winston on this race, and it's both to get to know the brother he never knew he had and get back at his very controlling father.
There was even an unaired pilot for this.
Yeah,
before the starting line. What the hell? Like, the starting line is the first. Like, there are only 6 episodes in my iTunes when I bought this thing. There was not 7.
Yeah.
So what the hell happened in the unaired pilot? That's what I want to know now.
I watched it this morning, before I started watching. It's like a 3.5 minute or almost 4 minute clip on YouTube. Entitled Unaired Drive Introduction. You see, like, Ma Kent and her new husband, the bikers. You see Wendy Petrakis. They have a different actor. There's Sean Hatoisi, who you see him. He was in Southland, the TV series. He was the football player turned brainiac sort of thing in the movie The Faculty with Elijah Wood. He plays Rob, and Taryn Manning, who played Ivy, plays Ellie, the wife, in this brief pilot.
Oh, jeez.
They had the mother and daughter, I'm just looking up on the characters here again, Susan and Leigh. There's a second daughter, or maybe the mom's sister, like the aunt. There's a three.
Then I'm kind of glad it was an unaired pilot, because holy crap, I hate cast changes like that. I'm glad I never saw that.
Unaired pilots are generally, okay, we shot this, can this work for the series? And execs are like, you need to change a couple of things. Well, they'll work with you. The coolest thing I noticed is Brian Bloom was in here from the beginning because you see him very briefly at the end of the clip. Alex, I'm looking it up here, in the pilot was played by Ivan Sergei, who's a television actor. You know, he's known for like Crossing Jordan, Charmed. He's one of the main stars of the TV movie and eventual TV series of a remake of a John Woo film called Once a Thief. I believe he's playing Alex in the pilot. And Manny Montana, you know him as FBI agent Johnny from Graceland. And he was in the Conviction TV series with Haley Atwell that was briefly on EBC. He plays one of the Salazar brothers. I don't know if he's Sean or Winston, but it's intimated in this clip that I believe it's Winston stole the lowrider because he mentions he had to steal this car, huh? Because it's basically all the racers are scrambling to get out of this motel that they all happen to be staying at, and they've all got these Zach Morris red brick phones for race phones in this unaired pilot.
I'm so glad I never saw this because holy crap, that sounds so unpolished and I don't even care.
Well, it's an unaired pilot.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm so glad I never saw this because it sounds like I would have never watched this series if I had ever seen that.
But out of this unaired pilot, that was probably my favorite clip where they get in and there's these little interactions. They're taking all the little soaps and taking all the shampoos. What am I forgetting? Towels. And then you see them going past the bikers, going back there, and you take everything in the fucking room, but you don't take the race phone. I'm going to get it, okay? And then they get in the car, and Manny is like, he had to steal this car, because they turn it over, and like the hydraulics and everything are going. They're just trying to get that figured out. Yeah, but I mean, the
sound... Sounds like a train wreck.
Yeah, well, no, it's just, it's very unpolished. And
the longest 4.5-minute train wreck I've ever heard of.
You just got to have more faith, Mike. But yeah, so
I have more faith in the four episodes than I do that unaired pilot.
Yeah, so I mean it ends on a great cliffhanger, and that's it's because it never came back. Like cliffhangers can work. There's another Fox series, Space Above and Beyond. It ran about 7 or 8 years before this series, about Space Marines in the future, and they're fighting this war against these aliens. The last episode ends with, out of the main cast, out of the six principal characters, only two are upright and moving. There's three of them, you don't know if they're alive or dead. Their commanding officer is messed up pretty bad, but they're gained a tactical advantage over the alien enemy, and it ends on that cliffhanger, but it's one I could live with because it's not perfect, but it's as good as we get. Now, the cliffhanger in this, by the end of episode 5, Sean is back with Winston. And the 6th episode starts with Alex seemingly turning over Karina to the race officials.
And it's one of those backwards ass, we'll explain the plot as the episode
goes
through.
It's very Pulp Fiction-y.
Yeah.
You know, they go back and forth. You know, Karina's interrogated by Professor Maggie.
And the whole time she's narrating to somebody that we don't even see because she is already in the future. It's one of those things where I'm trying to think what show did it recently. There's a show that I had been watching that it did something similar to this where they would... White Collar, that's what it is. There was a couple episodes of White Collar on USA when it was running where they would explain the plan to the audience, but as they're explaining it to us, they're actually acting it out in the episode, and that's kind of what this is doing. Karina is telling somebody that we do not see until the very end of the episode what is going on, what the story is, and what has happened so far, and then it cuts back and forth between what the actual plan is and what and how it all... It almost makes my head hurt worse than time travel.
Yeah. Well, basically what happens is it is a plan between the Salazars, Alex, and Karina. Alex turns Karina in to get a jump start on the next thing. And then while Winston takes both his phone and Alex's phone and takes the Challenger and goes ahead to the next checkpoint, Alex and Sean are going to meet the Salazar daddy to figure out, you know, get some more intel on the race and the whole sponsorship thing. And we see by the end of the episode that Karina has been talking to, Alex and Mrs. Tully the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Catherine Tully. And they're basically in the back of a semi, presumably driven by Paul Ben Victor, if he was going to come back again as the trucker.
Yeah, I don't know if he was, but it's revealed that they're in the back of a truck because Amy Acker's character, Catherine, says, hold on to something, and that's how it ends.
And I mean, again, it sucks.
Oh.
But it's a cliffhanger, like I said, it's a cliffhanger I can deal with.
No, I can't.
Other characters, I'll get into some of the trivia here, like some of the characters, like Susan and Leigh were run off the road by this big silver pickup, mm-hmm. which Susan is killed, and I read later on Leigh and Rob would have hooked up, I mean, not only as partners, but as lovers, once it's revealed that Ellie was up the shenanigans with evil racer Alan.
Yeah.
It would have been revealed that the advisor to Fernando Salazar, like the Papa Salazar, his right-hand man, was the actual sponsor. It was all an effort to take over the Salazar's company because apparently he's like, maybe Tony Stark rich or something.
You mean the Alex Torres character? Yancey Arias?
No.
The guy that meets Sean in the diner?
I don't know if it's the same actor or not. Maybe let's go with that. Maybe that was the same actor. It's just in the trivia I found, I could not find what the character's actor was. Wendy and Ivy become actual partners because, like, for the last two or three episodes of the series, one of the episodes, she's pulled the gun on Wendy, and then Wendy does this one badass thing where she drives against the flow of traffic, you know, and tosses Ivy out on the side of the road because she's got to go back and rescue her baby. And it's basically, Wendy would have rescued her baby from the foster home and brought him along on the race. He would find out that she had lost the baby previously with mm-hmm. her abusive husband. And then Ivy would have become anti-Ivy and would have actually ended up sacrificing her life to protect the baby by the end of it. Alex... I'm just looking here. Rob. I was looking at the wrong part of the article. Rob would have been saved from going to military jail and been put back in the army and would have found out that this high-ranking military colonel was responsible for sponsoring him and getting him involved in the first place, and he would have found out some information in Iraq that goes towards figuring out what's going on with the race. And look at other ideas. I'm reading this. This is an article written by Trevor Kimball in July of 2007 on TVSeriesFinale.com. Other episode ideas that were not explored in the series include the racers driving through a vicious storm and the aftermath of a 30-car pileup. Had Drive continued to a second season, there would have been a new race with new players, and some of the players from the first season would have taken new roles in the competition. And then, like you said earlier, Tim Minear said, you know, and when asked who would have won the race, is like, somebody. Because
mm-hmm.
honestly, I think just with the way the story goes and from my years of reading way too much into things, I honestly think it would have been down to the Salazars and Alex.
Yeah.
More than likely, unless they pull like a Hail Mary and all of a sudden Wendy comes in at the end, which, being a young mother and needing to get away from her abusive husband, those would have been the three most likely things. I would like to have seen Alex win and then give the money to Wendy or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like we said here and there over the show, folks, this was a great series. It had this syndicated late 1990s syndicated, you know, action sci-fi sort of programming je ne sais quoi. Like, it just had it. You know, you wanted to watch this show. You eagerly waited for each episode. You were pissed when it got canceled. And that's the other thing. This was a year, like, Fox, I have a very much love-hate relationship with Fox. I mean,
we may all not, do.
we may not have, I'm hoping we get at least a fourth season with Sleepy Hollow because of how they ended the third one. And but Fox has this thing where that it's like a drug addict. Like, the first taste is free. All these shows I love, like Fastlane and John Doe and Firefly, all in the same season. You know, Firefly only got the 13 episodes. Fastlane and John Doe actually got a full season rides, but then they're all canceled because of ratings and reasons. And they did this. There were out of the OC, because this was 2007 was the last season of the OC. It was already had been planned to be canceled then. There were
but there's a huge difference, though. There's a huge difference in the OC being getting a send off and Drive being left hanging off of a friggin' cliff. I mean, the OC was able to actually wrap itself up with a good ending.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, this year, I think, holds 2007, like 2006 into 2007 TV season. There were, not counting the OC, 10 shows that were started and canceled by Fox. We've got Drive, Happy Hour, Justice, The Loop, The Rich List, Standoff, Vanished, The War at Home, The Wedding Bells, The Winner. And that's, there were renewals and other couple other series that ended, like 24 had been renewed that year for another 2 years, and I think they had a third one after that before it was, you know, quote-unquote canceled before The New Day and Legacy happened. But yeah, Fox just, it's kind of like MTV in the 90s, where they had like two or three animated series and they got like those one seasons and then they get canceled because of reasons.
Animated series on MTV, what a joke. I'm sorry, that Spider-Man cartoon was the worst Spider-Man cartoon I've ever seen in my entire life.
I will mention the Spider-Man, but you do not talk shit about undergrad, sir.
I'm only talking shit about Spider-Man.
Good boy.
So it's been 10 years since Drive.
Fastlane got a DVD release after about 10 years. So holding out hope. Well, fingers crossed, but...
holding out hope that they actually did an actual real seventh episode that actually gives you some sort of ending, but I know it's never going to friggin' happen. Oh, God. Fox...
That's more like Simpsons Mendoza.
Oh, crap. All right, folks. What are you going to give Drive for its run 0 to 5 stars?
Oh, it's 5 stars. No contest.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.5, only because I just really didn't care for Wendy's acting. I just did not care for the actress. And I mean, I understand why the role is there, and I get that, and I just... But overall, absolutely love it. Thought it was great. I'll go back and watch it here and there. I may not watch the 6th episode ever again because it's just so depressing at the end. But yeah, that's Drive Season Pass here on Remote Control. Where can the people find you online, sir?
They can find me online sporadically on the Comic Connoisseur podcast with our friend Ben Carver. And you can find me on Twitter at JT from Saskatoon.
There should be air quotes after that one word. I am at TF2andMike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio, at This Week in Geek on Twitter. Be sure to visit the websites geekcastradio.com and thisweekingeek.net. Next time around, I have no idea. We could be going to Riverdale. We could be going to New Mexico. I have no clue what's happening on Remote Control right now. I'm just trying to make sure my face doesn't melt off. So there's that. Join us next time when we will all be fighting over the remote control.